If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 1, Matthew chapter number 1. How many of you have ever been in a Sunday school class and the teacher decided that it was a good thing for everybody to take a verse and read it? You're sitting in a circle and you got these verses to read. Now, this is like the perfect nightmare for somebody that's scared to read something out loud, is to read the first 16 or 17 verses of the book of Matthew. But I feel like we ought to read it, so I'm going to ask all of you to come up and take a verse. I'm just kidding. We're going to read this together because I want to take our text from Matthew chapter number 1, and it's a genealogy, but it's something I think would be very helpful to us, and some things the Lord has taught me from this passage of Scripture that I hope will be an encouragement and help to you. Will you follow along with me as I attempt to read to you Matthew chapter number 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Perez of Zara, of Tamar. And Perez begat Esrom. And Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat. Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias. And Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, Achim begat Elihud, and Elihud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. If we look with me in verse 21, we'll find our text there and message. The Bible says in verse 21, and she, the angel speaking to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Did anyone ever say something to you, and you heard them, you attempted to understand them, But at that moment, it was impossible for you to really understand the gravity of what was being said to you. But later, you've looked back on it and thought, wow, they had something really profound to say to me. How many of you ever had experience like that? Where you think about it later and you're like, wow, they knew something that I didn't. They attempted to help me. And I'm glad they said it. Joseph, you can just imagine the moment that he was in, awestruck. He just found out that his fiancée was going to have a baby and he had nothing to do with it. And the angel from heaven appeared to him and says these words, "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The angel said something very profound, but when we look at it in the context of the scripture, it makes so much sense to us, and it's so important that we pay close attention. The Bible says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Do you know what God's answer to all of men's problems are? God's answer to men's problems throughout the ages, since the beginning of time, God's answer to men's problems is not what you'd think. When God foresees an issue and a problem, you know what he does? He sends a baby. It's been the pattern of God's design all along to send a baby. You see, think about this baby. The earth was in horrible shape because of the wickedness of men. And God sent a baby boy, and they called his name Noah. And God used Noah, raised up Noah to build an ark, to save a remnant. How about Joseph? We see him as a young child. We see him when he's born, and we see him wearing his coat of many colors, but God knew that there was a need for God's people to be redeemed and helped. And God gives us Joseph. He goes into Egypt and God uses him in a mighty way to save God's people. What about Moses? You see, Moses a baby. You see, the nation of Israel now had been in bondage for many years to Egypt. And God knew there was a great problem and needed to redeem his people and save his people from the corruption and the bondage of Egypt. And what did God do? He sent a baby. You see him in that ark of bulrushes as his mom, by faith, set him out into the waters. God raised up a baby. You see, when God needs to do something, he sends a baby. How about Samuel? Do you remember his mother, Hannah, crying to the Lord? "Give me a child." God heard and answered her prayers. But God had something more in mind other than just drying the tears of a precious woman. He had something in mind. He said, "I know that the nation of Israel needs a prophet. They need somebody that will stand and be bold even in the face of folks like Saul." And God, for the nation of Israel, sends a baby, and his name was Samuel. There was a giant in Philistia, a giant of the Philistines, Goliath, and God needed someone to defeat him. God needed someone to rise as king of Israel after wicked Saul. You know what God did? God sent a baby, David. The old song goes, he wasn't the oldest, he wasn't the strongest, but God raised up a child and God used David. Think about the mother that raised the Apostle Paul, the mother that raised Peter. God used these men. When God has a problem, he sends a baby. Now look, don't be so proud in your adulthood that you neglect the fact that God is raising up the next generation. When God has a problem, he sends a baby. And at Christmas, we're reminded of the greatest gift that was ever given. And God sent him in the form of a baby to Bethlehem's manger. God sent a baby. His name is Jesus. Bible says in verse number 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. There's a few things I want to look at this morning. First thing I want to look at is his name or his names. The Bible says here in this text, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name has certain significance. But before that, in this same chapter, we see his name something else. The scripture says in verse number 16, you see it with me? And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Who is Jesus? Is he just another baby born in Bethlehem's manger? Is he just a freak coincidence of amazing genetics that produced a man that was so smart and so able and so loving that he was able to shake the whole world with his cunning personality? That's not the Jesus that I serve. The Jesus that I serve, God in his word calls him the Christ, the anointed. Jesus born in Bethlehem's manger, who lived a sinless life, who was crucified and died and gave his life, buried and risen again the third day. That is the Christ. You see, the Christ of Christmas is the Christ, the one that's chosen by God, the one that's sent by God, the one given by God, the only one that could possibly redeem the wickedness of men. When God needs a redeemer, he sends a baby. And the redeemer of all men, he was pictured in Noah, he was pictured in Joseph and Moses and Samuel and David. But our great Redeemer, the Christ, the only way of salvation is Jesus. The angel looked at Joseph and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. You see, his name was Christ. He is the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. But it also says that his name was Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. I love the name Jesus. You know, I remember the first time that I was introduced to the fact that some folks call their children Jesus. I remember seeing the name the first time I began to ever work with children from Latin America and Spanish-speaking children. I remember the first Jesus I met, and I thought, I was taken aback the first time I saw that name. But quite frankly, his name Jesus was actually a rather common name at that time in history. You see, it was the same. It was similar to the name Joshua. And folks named their children, especially if you were Jewish believers, you would name your child Jehovah is salvation, Jesus, Jesus, Joshua. But his name Jesus, it literally means Savior. You see, he is the Christ, the Messiah. He is also Jesus, the Savior. The Bible continues in verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. You see, he is the Christ, the Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. That's our Savior. That's Jesus. You see, his name is Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Christ, Jesus God with us. Isn't it wonderful? That's the Christ of Christmas. That's the Jesus who is the reason for the season. Jesus, his names. Number two, let's look at this. It's really the brunt of the message. His people. The Bible says in verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Who are his people? I'm so glad to be able to tell you that we are his people. Hallelujah. Now, when I look at this genealogy of Christ, it's easy when you read the first chapter of the book of Matthew to start your reading at somewhere about verse number 16. If you're real spiritual, you'll back up to verse 15 and try to pronounce Elihud or Eleazar. But really, you start reading the book of Matthew in verse number 16, but we've made a mistake by not paying attention to what God has to say. There's some interesting things about genealogies in the Bible. In the Jewish mind, in the Jewish way, your pedigree was very important. And so there's time given here to who Christ was and the fact that he is the rightful king and he is the rightful Messiah. But in this passage of Scripture, Matthew makes a very important distinction and makes a very important point to let us know that Jesus Christ has come to save his people from their sins. Let's see who his people are. We look in the beginning here, verse number 1. Now, I don't want to present this to you as some glorious, flowery, perfect pedigree. How many of you have family members that you're really glad to identify with? How many of you have family members that you're not glad to identify with at all? As a matter of fact, you wish that you didn't have to identify with them, but you know them anyway. Don't raise your hand. You know, if we have family members we're really proud of, you know, we'll identify. Sometimes there's family members we just don't even acknowledge or even know them. I'm not saying that's right, but it happens, doesn't it? Now, the Bible, one of the most beautiful things about the Bible is it doesn't leave out the bad and ugly. Some of us tell our stories, and our stories are good only. But the Bible, in its honesty and integrity, it tells the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when Matthew was writing and introducing his book, the first of the Gospels, the very beginning of the Old Testament, he wants us to understand that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And we can be quite a Debbie Downer as we begin to read this book of the Bible, because look what the Bible says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. I want you to associate one other person with David. David and what? Bathsheba. Some of us come up David and Goliath. But you're either going to say David and Goliath or David and Bathsheba, and because I prefaced it as it's bad, David and Bathsheba, huh? We've started on a rough start, right? The Bible continues, the son of Abraham. Abraham. Oh, I remember something about Abraham. You remember when Abraham, that big chicken, he left the will of God and the place of God's blessing and went into a foreign land, and he was so scared of his own shadow that he acted like his wife was his sister. Can you believe that? Abraham, he's a liar. Beget Isaac. Isaac. You remember Isaac? He was such a whiny kind of guy. Oh, I'm about to die. Well, he didn't die for like 100 years after he started whining about he's going to die. Isaac. Jacob. You remember Jacob? He acted like his brother and put skins on his arms and lied to his father, who was also a whiny liar. Cheated. Esau. Jacob. Judas. Ooh. I'll tell you some bad things about him too. But it brings us to really something fascinating. Normally, you would never include the lady folks in a genealogy. But in Matthew's genealogy, he does. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom. Now, I want you to think just a minute about Tamar. You may not know who Tamar is, but I want to tell you a little bit about Tamar. As a matter of fact, I'll just let the Bible tell you about Tamar. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 38 and verse number 1. It came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shuah. And I'm reading you the wrong passage of Scripture. 38, chapter 38, verse 24. I'm not going to read all the way to 24 just because I made a mistake. Verse 24, look at it. You hear verse 24 with me. 38, 24, the Bible says this. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. Tamar. For she is a righteous heir to the throne of Christ. No. What did the Bible say about Tamar? As a matter of fact, Tamar was a harlot and tricked her own father-in-law. And she ends up bearing his twins, Tamar. And God in His Word says, when I'm talking about what Jesus is coming to do, I want to tell everybody and remind everybody that Jesus came to save His people, of whom we have people like Tamar. The Bible says again in verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab. Rahab the what? Say that. Rahab the what? Did you say harlot? Yes. Isn't that fascinating? You see, you have a deceptive, deceitful harlot in Tamar, and in Rahab, you have a woman that God allows an opportunity to serve Him. Spies go in to the city, and Rahab, the harlot, protects them. A little bit later, when the walls of Jericho are about to fall down, she drops a crimson thread out of her door, a picture of the blood of Christ that redeems all people. And God saved her and her family alive because of the work that Rahab did. What did God say? God said, I want you to know that Jesus came to save His people, of the which we have people like Rahab. In the same verse, number 5, Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Remember Ruth? She's my favorite Bible character. I like her on earth too. Ruth. What about Ruth? Is Ruth's name written in the Chronicles of Christ's birth because Ruth was a famous Jewish princess? No. What was Ruth? Ruth was a pagan, condemned by her birth to death and hell. Gentile. Not just any Gentile, but a nasty old Moabitess. And yet, God said, I want to remind you that Jesus has come to save His people from their sins. Ruth, the Moabitess, the pagan, is in the genealogy of Christ. He begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Verse number 6, and Jesse begat David, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon. Wow, God used Solomon in a mighty way. What a guy. But the Bible wants you to understand and be reminded of where Solomon came from. Look at it. Verse number 6. David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Who was the wife of Urias? Bathsheba. Who's the mother of Solomon? Bathsheba. And God says, I want you to see who His people are. Who are His people? People who are guilty of murder and adultery, and deception and deceit and the most wicked things. His people. Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sins. But unless we become disillusioned by out and out, bold-faced, wicked people who need a Savior, who else did Jesus come to save? His people. The Bible says in verse number 16, and Jacob begat Joseph. I like the story and the life of Joseph, the father figure in Jesus' life, not his father. The father figure in Jesus. And quite frankly, I find nothing really atrocious about him. God chose to put His own son in that man's home. But I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ came to save His own father from the curse of his own sin and marries nonetheless a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ came to save His people from their sin. You know what? I'm His people. I'm His people. So are you. I'm His people in the fact that I'm a sinner, condemned to hell. I'm also His people in the fact that God sent Him and Jesus paid the price for my sins on the cross of Calvary that I might have everlasting life. He came to save His people from their sins. You see, His names, His people, finally his purpose. Look what the scripture says in verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save, his people from their sins. You know, it's unfortunate that the word saved is something that's left a lot of Christians' vocabulary. Saved. It kind of sounds bad. It makes people feel bad because it makes them think that they had to be saved from something. But quite frankly, the only reason Jesus had to come is because every person that's ever been born is a sinner condemned to hell. And Jesus came to save his people. Now, we like to save people. I don't know about you, but I like the opportunity to save people. There was a lady fell in the restaurant the other night, and I didn't hesitate. My sister didn't hesitate. We jumped up and helped her up, tried to encourage her. I like to save people. I want to help people. I mean, I don't like for people to suffer, and I want to help them. And Jesus does help people. Jesus will help clothe the needy and feed the poor, and Jesus will help with shelter, and Jesus will heal the sick, and he's been able to raise the dead. Jesus does all kinds of wonderful things for people. But his primary purpose in coming was not to make this world a better place from which to go to hell. The reason that Jesus came was so that he could save his people, not from discomfort for life, but he came to save his people from their what? Sins. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible declares our righteousness, our best effort, is as filthy rags. Our good is not good enough. And our sin condemns us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says there's no exception to this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin. Why did Jesus come? To be a really cool story in the month of December to talk about so we can give gifts and have a great time. I mean, those are good parts of Christmas, but that's not the message of Christmas. Jesus came plain as day to save his people from their sins. He came to save and redeem the Davids and Abrahams, the Jacobs and Isaacs, the Judases, the Tamars, the Rahabs, the Ruths, the Solomons, the Bathshebas, the Uriahs. He came to save the Josiahs, the Ezekiahs. He came to save the Josephs and the Marys, the Codys and the Ruths. He came to save his people from their sins. Folks, I want you to know something. Your sin condemns you. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the price for your sins on the cross of Calvary so that you can receive his gift of everlasting life, forgiveness of sin, peace with God for eternity. Heaven is your home when you put your trust in him. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Do you believe in Jesus? You believe in the Christ of Christmas? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Do you believe that Jesus came to pay the price for your sins? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, like he said, ascended into heaven to intercede for you? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior? Do you believe the baby in Bethlehem came and paid the price for your sins on the cross? The Bible says, with a heart, man believes unto righteousness. And then the Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It looks a little different for everybody, but for me, it's how it looked. I realized I was a sinner. God made it clear that my sin condemned me. As a child, understanding I was lost and a sinner, I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and be my Savior, and he changed my life. You know what happened? I got saved. I got saved. And every person that's ever lived must be saved. Jesus actually said it just like this. He said, you must be born again. You must be saved. You see, Jesus came with a purpose. He came to save his people from their sins. His people, their sins. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? The Bible says it like this, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.